Good morning, everyone. My name is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and thank you for being here today for our weekly news program, This Week with Dr. T. I want to start today by saying that we are so happy that so many of you have decided to become a Tenpenny Prime member. We see that all the memberships are kind of flooding in, but every one of you is important. Our new membership includes three educational pieces that will only go to our members, a recorded white paper, a recorded PowerPoint presentation, and then at the end of the month, we have an Ask the Expert Live. That is an incredible, I promise you that I will bring you the best people I can find to cover the topics that we're doing, the topic of the month. In January, we covered thyroid issues. In February, we covered cardiovascular issues. And now in March, it's going to be GI issues. So you will really want to be part of that. And it's the best way to register for that is to go to shoptenpenny.net, shoptenpenny.net, hover over the membership tab at the top, and you can see all the different benefits that you get, and it's ways that you can join either as a monthly or as an annual benefit. And it's your monthly support that allows us to do all of the things that we do. We broadcast, we put up a broadcast 5 days a week now at 11 a.m. Eastern time. We post on our Substack every single day. I write articles every day. We do a ton of free content, and your monthly support keeps us being able to do that for you and to do other things of great benefit. So I really appreciate everybody for being there. Let's make 2025 a year of knowledge, empowerment, and action. But before I introduce to you today our special guest, I want to talk about the fact that everything that we have done, we're moving a new website. We're moving it over to a new place. So if you're already an existing member, you can go to your existing place at drtenpenny.com, log into your membership area. Nothing has changed. If you're a new member, go to shoptenpenny.net and be sure you have to register with an email address. Be sure you write it down and remember it because our customer support team gets overwhelmed with people saying, I can't get into my membership area. And 90% of the time it comes down to you didn't put in the right email address. So do that for yourself, do that for us, and we're so happy to have you join us. So with that, I want to introduce to you today's special guest, Jill, a fearless warrior of faith, freedom, and sovereignty. She's been with us before, and she's a dear friend, and I can't wait to hear what she has to say today. You will not want to miss this. It's a hot topic. We'll be right back.
Zeolite is a detox spray. We work specifically with a company called Touchstone Essentials. They are an incredible company. We've been working with them now for several years. And zeolite is a mineral that goes through your body like a one-way basket. It will clean out heavy metals such as arsenic and mercury, aluminum, cadmium, and it hooks onto those metals from a one-way perspective. So once it's bound, it goes out through your urine or your stools and doesn't get redeposited in other places. Everybody needs to have a detox product in their life, and this one is so easy to use, and it's so safe. You can take it when you're pregnant, you can take it when you're nursing, you can give it to little children, you can even give it to infants, and quite frankly, I give it to my dog. I actually put a little bit of the zeolite in his water, because until we all stop living in a toxic world, we all need to get some of those extra toxicities out. The heavy metals, the persistent organic pollutants, the things that are floating through the air, the different things that we come in touch within our environment. And we are a big fan of zeolite from Touchstone Essentials. We've been a big, big, big fan of their products for several years. Go to drtenpenny.com/detox to get your first bottle of zeolite spray for $50 off.
Well, welcome back, everyone. Jill is not just a voice. She is a force in the fight for truth, justice, freedom, and American biblical values. She is now exposing a shocking whistleblower revelation, an alleged scheme to put illegal migrants on lifelong Social Security disability and setting them up at taxpayer expense. An educator and an ordained minister, Jill is unshakable in her faith and her mission to legislate for the kingdom of God and destroy the works of darkness. Jill, thank you for agreeing to come on our show today. It was so good to see you. You know, before we went live, we said we could have poured ourselves a cup of tea or a cup of coffee and sat here and chatted all day. It's so good to see you.
You too, Sherry. I love being on your show. And of course, I hold you in very high esteem. And I love the work you're doing and getting the word out to people, people who have never heard any of these things. And you're empowering them to make really good choices for themselves and their families. And I love that. So thank you.
Well, you're welcome. Well, you have quite a story to tell. We talked for quite a while before we went live here on today's show. And I'm just going to let you take the show and just sort of run with it. What you feel that is you're capable of telling, and this whole story that has unfolded at this very important time in American history, when we've got Doge looking at all the fraud and abuse, when we've got Tom Homan down on the southern border, you know, taking away the illegals. And, you know, I wrote a little short piece about this a few years ago that basically it was actually when Trump went into office the first time and he was talking about removing illegal aliens and everybody was up in arm about that. But I went backwards in time and looked at how many illegals had been removed from this country by Clinton, by Bush, by Obama. It was in the millions, tens of millions of people. So this is not novel. This is not a new thing. And so the difference is that these people are going to be removed are going to have a really hard time getting back in, which I don't think that was the case in the past. But you've uncovered some things that really go along with this fraud and abuse. And so why don't you just tell us about how you found out about this and this whole story?
All right. Well, thank you. So let me predicate what I'm going to share by first of all saying I am a woman of faith, and I believe that the Lord leads me by the Holy Spirit into all of these various areas. And I want to share this verse with you. It's Exodus 25:31, and it says, "You shall make a lampstand of pure gold. The lampstand shall be of a hammered work, of one piece of gold." The lampstand is what brings light. And the Lord desires for all of us to be a lampstand. We should be walking human lampstands, bringing light into the darkness. The scripture says that the darkness cannot comprehend the light. It overtakes it. The light overtakes the darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it. So I believe the Lord is, he's calling on people, not just myself, not just you. There's millions out here. He's calling on us. He's asking us to surrender ourselves to this ministry, to this mission, to become bright lights that the darkness will not be able to comprehend. And so with that, I believe that's how I came to even be involved in this issue. We were working back, by the way, this that I'm going to share with you took place 8 years ago. And so it doesn't appear to me that nothing has really happened with this information. I don't really know for sure, but let me just say it's catching quite a lot of attention right now. And so.
Second, because I want to emphasize that video that was shown on Joe Rogan and other types of large audiences, that was from 8 years ago?
Yes, 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. And what had happened at the time was I was working on education issues in my state, and I was uncovering a lot of corruption in the education field. And then we discovered that there was a connection with some very nefarious characters, no surprise, in the education world. And they were trying to manipulate and even take control over the current learning generation. And so, as I say, we were holding town hall meetings all over the state, alerting the parents and the grandparents of what was happening in the schools. And in the midst of that, I was invited to attend some meetings that this person that had invited me thought that the work I was doing I would get some insight if I attended these meetings, and I would get a little more, can we even just say, intel on who was behind it and how they were doing it. So I agreed to do that. I agreed to attend these meetings. I attended for a year. And in these meetings, I learned quite a bit, but at the end of the time that I decided to stop attending the meetings was about the time I found out about these illegals and the plan to bring them into country and give them Social Security benefits. And in the meeting, they actually asked me if I would be willing to pick them up from the airport And they would be arriving at midnight. And they said to me, it's because we don't want the public to see what's going on. Well, that raised a red flag. And then they said, we want you to process them and fill out applications for them and attempt to get them to present with either a lower neck pain or headache, chronic headache, or lower back pain. And this would, I don't know, I guess it would qualify them for Social Security long-term disability, which is what they wanted me to sign them up for. So they told me that as they were coming into country, that they were going to come in diseased, and they wanted me to protect my vehicle and myself and not be contaminated. And all of these things that they were sharing with me shocked me. And I just thought, you know, I can't sit on this information anymore. I'd learned so much in these meetings, but this was absolutely over the top. And I just couldn't sit on it. So when I returned home, I decided to make a PowerPoint, and I made an appointment with one of my state senators. I called him and asked him if I could share this information with him. I said, this is an emergency, actually. And so he agreed to do that. And we did I did the presentation for him, and we ended up having a Senate hearing over it, because so egregious was this information that he felt, and I felt and agreed with him, that the public needs to know. And so I became a whistleblower at that time, and I began to get all kinds of invitations to speak on podcasts and radio shows and what have you, but I chose to only do one, and that's the one that's currently going viral.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. And what's so shocking to me about that is, if that was 8 years ago and nothing was done, how bad has it become over the last 8 years?
Well, we've learned so much from Doge and from Elon Musk and Tom Homan. These illegals are getting EBT cards front loaded. I mean, when they were training me to process these people, they were giving me a stack of these cards, and they were front loaded with $4,000. And if there were children, then the children would get a $1,500 card, and they would be renewed every month. Yeah. And so these illegals, upon entry, were not just staying here. They were compatriating with groups of country of origin. They would literally go find their peers in other states and then join those communities. And so that in order to, I guess, take full advantage of these cards and these monies, they were starting businesses. They were opening up little gas station convenience stores and going to, I mean, I saw this myself and recorded it. They would go to Sam's Club and buy bulk snacks and soft drinks by the cases and load them in the back of their car and then take them back to their convenience store and sell them. And this was giving them an incredible cash cow, because they didn't have to pay for any of this. They were using those cards to buy all of this. So, you know, this has been going on for a while. And I think when Trump was in office previously, I think he was combating this, but I don't believe that people knew the depth and the scope of the problem at that time. And that really came in under Obama. Obama wanted to raise the annual amount of what he called migrants into the country to 65,000. And previously it had been, you know, 1,000 under 1965 under Lyndon Johnson, but Obama raised it. And in fact, he raised it that last quarter that he was in office. And so he goes out of office, Trump comes into office, I believe unknowingly with this flood of illegals coming in. And then, of course, Trump imposed the travel ban, and rightly so, because these people, what we were told in the meetings that I was attending was that they were going into these other countries, Afghanistan, Syria, Iraq, and they were just walking around with an envelope full of plane tickets. And they were just picking people off the street and asking them if they wanted to come to the U.S. And they had to leave right then with just the shirt on their backs. And so these people were coming. They didn't speak English. They were leaving their home country of origin. They were leaving their families, had no money, no resources until they got here. And then they had these cards and, you know, it's quite a little scheme if you think about it.
Do we have any idea who was in charge of that program and actually bought the plane tickets and went to these countries to do that? Has anybody been charged with anything?
Not to my knowledge. And I don't know. That was never divulged in the meetings. I don't know where that, if I had to guess, I would guess it was the USAID agency.
Of course. And with everything that we're finding out now about USAID. Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, it's just so disturbing to me that some of the every day that I kind of have been following these, I guess, revelations. I mean, I just, you know, there's it, like, he just keeps turning over cow pies and finding another pile of poo that stinks, you know, of all of these things that are happening. And that, you know, when Elon wrote on X on a post where he said that from as far back as they've been able to see so far, that Treasury has never used the do not pay button, and that anything that has come in there to be paid, they have paid it. And now we've got something like, they found something like 25 or 30 million people that are over the age of 100 that are getting, have been getting monthly Social Security checks for a really, really long time. And, you know, the last census that we have, there was about 100,000 people in our country over 100 years old, not 25 million. And so I keep wondering, who are these checks being written to? I mean, what name is going on those checks? Because somebody's cashing them and they're going to somebody's bank account. And in order for you to cash a check, you know, you go in today just with any checks, a check for like $20. You know, the teller asks you for your driver's license and wants to know it's the right, going into the right account. I mean, when you're talking billions of dollars, where is that money going?
Well, you've raised such a great point with that question, Sherry. I'm looking at a chart that was released by Doge about a week ago. From the age of 100 to 109, $4,734,407 was distributed to that age group. Then you go to the age group of 130 to 139 year olds, and $3,936,311 was going to that age group. If you go to the people who are 150 to 159 years old, and I'd love to meet who those people are, they received $1,345,083. I mean, these numbers are staggering to me. And who is receiving this? We know there are no 180-year-olds out there alive. We know this. So who are these? Who are receiving these? I believe it's these illegals. I believe the illegals are the ones that are receiving these Social Security benefits and receiving the checks. And so, and you raise a question, and I want to speak into this. We discovered recently, and perhaps some of your viewers have seen that Border Czar Tom Homan dressed down AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, because she was funding centers across the United States to assist illegals to avoid deportation.
Oh, wow.
And we found one of those centers here in my state. And actually yesterday they were supposed to be open to receive illegals to begin issuing them birth certificates from any state of their choosing and to issue them driver's license. Now, all of this is fraud. It's fake. And so if you're listening right now to this, I would encourage you to go into your state and find out if your state is having one of these centers open. Now, yesterday they were supposed to open. They were supposed to be taking appointments. So I called over there, got a voicemail, and then they notified the caller, me, that they had postponed the appointments until March 25th. So they took no appointments yesterday. And I had a friend go over there because it's about 4 hours from my house. And I called a friend and asked her to go over. She went over and checked it out. And she reported back to me, there was no one there. The building was locked up, but they've postponed their date to March 25th, which kind of makes me wonder if they did that. They said they did it because of weather, but there was no bad weather yesterday. So it makes me wonder if they weren't getting funding cut because of Tom Homan's, you know, he had that hearing last week. So that's good news. I felt like that. I took that as good news. But does that mean they'll go away? No, it doesn't mean that. It means we have to stay vigilant. We have to keep our eyes and ears open to any kind of activity like this. I mean, I think it's pretty brazen to put an ad in the paper advertising this. Wow. They're just so brazen. I guess they just don't think we're going to do anything about it.
Well, I really hope that when all this stuff starts uncovering, that they really follow the money trails. It's one thing to know that Treasury or USAID or Social Security wrote checks. The next step is who did they write them to and what bank accounts did they go into? And I hope that they find a bunch of senators and representatives have been on the take and that those people are just run up the flagpole, man. You know, there was a... there was a, you know, now that Kash Patel has been confirmed.
Right.
And you know, in his book, he had a long list of people and names that had already been charged with things, with pedophilia and child porn and all of these different things that the people inside this government that are been on the take and are so despicable just need a, we just need a huge vacuum cleaner to just suck it all up suck it all up and dump it into the ocean or something. Or, you know, it's probably better to incinerate it. I don't know if we want to pollute the ocean with that garbage, you know. I'm just joking here a little bit, but seriously, the number of people on, because I read that list, he posted it on his X page. Very long. It must be 70 or so names, and they're like all have government positions, like assistant secretary to or assistant to governor, whatever. And they're all in the government. They're all on the government take, and they've all been charged with crimes. And I think that I think the American people are really happy to see what happy from the fact that it's being exposed.
Right.
Not that it, not what it is. They're not happy about what it is, but that it is being exposed. But I personally, this is just my own personal opinion, feel that until the first public person is actually arrested and charged, we're still always going to be like, well, that's good information, but what are we going to do about it?
Exactly.
Being that with Kash Patel and Pam Bondi now, because Pam Bondi, I heard her speech at CPAC. And she said, you know, and they are just running around like crazy, looking all these things, talking about exposing the Epstein list and the P. Diddy list. And that people are just like, you know, raising the roof. And they're running into very dangerous territory. I mean, it's not that they're not protected, but it is very dangerous territory. And I just hope that the good guys continue to walk with the Lord and the good guys win.
Amen. Well, you know, the scripture says that righteousness exalts the nation and the people rejoice.
Yeah.
And when wicked rulers are in leadership, the nation groans. And so I believe that we will rejoice as righteousness emerges, you know, more and more and more of this is getting uncovered. You know, I just think there's going to be a tsunami of justice released in the land. And you're absolutely right. People want justice. You know, there's a lot of angry people out there right now who have come to the knowledge of this Social Security debacle and that these monies have been spent and sequestered and hidden. And then the people have been told that the Social Security will be bankrupt by the time they reach retirement age. And that's just not true. And so to your point, I believe people want to not just now know the knowledge, but they want the justice to accompany it. You know, bring these illegal, corrupt individuals to justice. And I think that's the cry that people are giving right now. You know, they're tired of, I mean, we know how bad things are, and we're learning more every day about how bad things are, and grateful to finally have answers. But that's not enough. That's not going to satisfy the American people, I don't believe. They really do want to see people brought to justice. And I would be one of those people.
I think so, too. You know, one of the questions, actually, it was Ted Cruz who was doing the interviewing at CPAC, and he was talking to Pam Bondi. And he said, now that you're there and you're officially there and you've been there for 3 weeks now, what are people saying to you inside of the Department of Justice? She said the vast majority are just coming up and saying, thank you. Mm. Now I can, you know, this is what I wanted to do. You know, I became, went to law school and wanted to work for the Department of Justice to say that nobody is above the law and anybody that's committed a crime is going to be charged and justice will prevail. And that has just, they've just been handcuffed about that for so long. And Kash Patel was kind of saying the same thing in his acceptance speech where he said, we need to, he said, I really will uphold the Constitution about terrorists, both foreign and domestic, and we are not going to have that nonsense inside the FBI anymore, and we're not going to be having anything from the outside. And he said, you back there in the media, if you want to say anything bad, I'm your guy. Come after me, but let the rest of these people do their job. And at his, I don't know if you saw it, but at his swearing-in ceremony, there must have been 70 or 80 people in the room that all stood up and gave this raging standing ovation. I mean, it just brought tears to my eyes to see what was that these people, that people in this country are so excited about justice and about what's going to happen, hopefully, when these people are really put their feet to the fire. And I really believe that we've got, if we don't do it now, it's never going to happen. And we've got the strongest team and political team on the national playing field that I think we've ever had.
I agree. I think that these last 4 years, they've been quietly amassing their strategy and waiting for the moment to arrive. Well, the moment is now. And, you know, behind me, I've got a set of the scales of justice. And it just serves a reminder to me to continue to pray and continue to ask the Lord, what is it that you would have me do? What is my part? I mean, I'm not a person of influence. I don't have an elected position or anything like that. But I think that there are many, many people like me who were just nameless, faceless individuals, but we can do something. And we need to do something, particularly if the Lord is speaking to us about issues and putting us in these positions where we can use the influence that we do have. So I would encourage people that are listening, don't sit on your couch or on your beach chair somewhere and listen to this and just be content with the information. Ask the Lord, what am I to be doing right now? What is my portion? What is my part? I mean, you, Sherry, you're doing fabulous work and you have inspired so many people, millions of people who feel hope, perhaps for the first time ever. And I'm sure you didn't wake up one morning and say, gee, I think I'll take on the entirety of the healthcare of the United States, maybe even the world. I'm sure that never crossed your mind, but you've been so faithful to do this and look where we are. I mean, we've got Robert Kennedy Jr., who I know is a friend of yours, and you guys have collaborated on things in the past. And look at this, golden opportunity we have to bring truth into the healthcare industry. You know, number 40 red dye, vaccines, childhood vaccines, number 3 red dye, high sugar fructose corn syrup. I mean, the list goes on and on. So these are people who you and others and myself, we're doing what's put in front of us to do. And I think that's all we could ever ask of anybody. If you have the opportunity, take the opportunity. Don't shrink back and worry about your reputation. Don't worry about your personal protection, because too much is on the line. I really feel like we're at another Paul Revere moment, you know? We need to be sounding the alarm.
You know, I think this is, that's really, really good. You know, I've said about myself, especially since the beginning of COVID, since March of 2020, and doing my happy hour with Dr. T, and, you know, writing my book on walking with God and doing my I'm Walking with God Substack, plus having these hard hitting interviews and all the things that I've done publicly, big on the stage. I said, you know, I'm sort of a combination between Paul Revere and John the Baptist. You know,
great,
the day of the Lord is at hand, and they're coming, and keep going, you know, and stuff like that. We got to get our army like fired up.
That's right.
With that, we're going to take a really quick break. Today we're talking with my dear friend Jill, a faith-based freedom fighter that is exposing so much information about what's happening with our government. We'll be right back.
We also have an apparel line on our store that has just the best things. In fact, I go and shop at my own store. I mean, I really do go and buy stuff out of my own store. They have t-shirts and sweatshirts and cups and mugs and totes. We've got a great designer. We're always adding new things all the time. And either one of those two product lines, either our private label supplements, our Opti line, the white bottles with the green leaves on it, or with the apparel store, and they're two separate stores. They do not have a single shopping cart. It's like you go in one store and get your groceries, and you go to the other store and get your shoes. Well, these are two separate stores, but you can use the same affiliate code. If you use the code podcast, when you go to the checkout, you can get 10% off on everything you buy every time you go to the store.
Well, welcome back, everyone. We have, you know, I think right before we took the break, you were saying about people need to get involved. And I've been saying that for a long time, too. You know, you can't expect to every 4 years go in and check a box, say, yay, my candidate won, and then you don't do anything. It's like, well, they're over there taking care of it. And even as we mentioned, you know, like Kash Patel and Pam Bondi and RFK Jr. and Kristi Noem and, you know, all the different people that have gotten approved, you know, that are there. And there was more to come. We can't just let them sit back and, you know, we can cheer them on, but what can we do to actually get involved, Jill? I mean, you know, and I think there's a lot of people out here, and I've heard Bobby say this in a couple of his speeches somewhere along the line, that this whole MAHA movement to make America healthy again, this whole MEGA movement about the economics to, you know, make America economically viable again, have really, and when you look at those, that the map of the United States, all red in a couple of blue cities, when the tsunami of how we won this election, it's all really good. And we finally think we've got people's attention, that people understand they've got to keep their hands on the steering wheel, and keep their foot on the accelerator to hold these government officials and these things that are happening, to hold their feet to the fire and stay in the driver's seat. But I think there's a lot of frustration, at least in the groups that I'm in, that people are like, I want to get involved. I want to be able to do something. And it doesn't seem to be like any open doors to get involved. Do you have any suggestions for that?
Well, of course, from a faith-based position, and that's how I operate, the first order of business is to inquire of the Lord. I mean, you were made and you were formed and fashioned in your mother's womb to be born in this place and this time. And so it would be incumbent to ask the Lord, what is my call? What is my purpose? And then wait. Don't try to go out and start your own, fire here. Just wait and ask him, and he will show you. He will lead you by his Holy Spirit, and you will find yourself in the most unusual situations and circumstances at his leading. It won't be something that you wanted to do necessarily, but I will say this. Oftentimes, the things that we feel the most passionate about are because he's put that passion in us. And so, your passion for healthcare and for truth and for justice, he put that in you. He put it in me. And so we give expression to that, coupled with his leading, his guidance. I think we need to stay in the Word of God. I know there will be people listening to this that don't believe in God, perhaps, and they don't even really read the Bible. They think it's myth. But I will tell you, the Word of God is powerful. It's alive. It's active. And it will lead you into all truth. And it will give you wisdom and knowledge and revelation and understanding beyond your natural abilities. And the war we're in right now, in my opinion, is a spiritual war. And we can do these things like you're doing with your media and your writings, which is excellent. And I salute that. The things I'm doing, I'm speaking, I'm a public speaker, hosting meetings and doing the things I do. All of these things are good and they help. But at the end of the day, the most important thing we can do is pursue the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. That's how we're going to be the most effective. And so, yes, there are things people can do. They can get involved politically. They can get involved locally in their local precincts, their local counties, their local, their state. In that regard, if they're interested in being a change agent in the political or public policy arena. But my suggestion would be, first of all, inquire of the Lord and ask him, where are you being called to? What are you being called to? And how can you cooperate with him in it? And I promise you, he will open it up for you. You won't have to try to make it happen. He will do it all. So that would be my first and foremost suggestion to people.
That's absolutely dead on right. And to know that sometimes God doesn't answer your prayers right away.
Right.
And it's not that he didn't hear you. It's that sometimes there are a lot of dominoes that need to line up, to be able to make things happen.
Right.
Sometimes those dominoes take longer because there are multiple steps or multiple people or multiple situations in order to make the best optimal thing of what God wants us to do. So
right.
On top of what you said, encourage people to not be discouraged if they don't get an answer like day after tomorrow.
Right. Well, let's go back and remind everybody, I did this interview 8 years ago.
Mm.
And the Lord knew 8 years ago when he was calling me even to attend those meetings, which I did for a year, and then became a whistleblower and then did the interview. Well, you just have a tendency to forget about that and move on to the next thing. I didn't camp out on that or try to, stir it up or keep it going. It was entirely in the hands of the Lord. And so often that's the case. And to your point about not getting discouraged, he's starting something way back here. And if we'll remain faithful, he will reveal the punchline eventually. But we can't force that to happen, and we should not grow weary in well-doing, because in due season we will see, we will gain the benefit, we'll get the fruit of it, it will produce. But we're Americans and we want things instantly. We want it instantly, and in the kingdom of God seldom do things happen instantly. It's just the nature of God. He's eternal. He's been around a while.
And you know, for us, you know, when it says in the word that a day to him is like a thousand years, and we think a day is 24 hours. That's another thing that gives us a little different perspective of what's going on. Well, Jill, with you being this great prayer warrior and prayer leader, I do want to ask you, what do you think about the White House Faith Office that was established by executive order? I mean, to me, that's a big statement on the part of a political body, meaning our administration, to put something out about that as an executive order. Where do you think that's going to go, and why do you think that happened?
Jesus gave us some wisdom in the book of Matthew when he said, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and beware of the leaven of Herod." I interpret that to mean the leaven of the Pharisees is the religious spirit, and the leaven of Herod is the political spirit. And Jesus himself gave a warning not to get enmeshed with those two spirits, the political and the religious. And so I do think that there is a potential danger when you start to mix those two because they both are contending for preeminence. They're both contending to be the smartest guy in the room, the guy at the top, you know, because that's the nature of a spirit that is not the Holy Spirit. So that said, I think that the faith office, it can be a good thing, but it's going to be dependent on the leadership of it. And I have some hesitation about it, honestly. And I hope it is a good thing. I hope that some genuine God-fearing men and women will be able to speak into it and pray with fervency and effectiveness for the president and for the country. But time's going to tell if that is the case. So I don't know.
Well, it's like a lot of things that are happening in Washington, D.C. right now. It's such a big shakeup. I mean, I remember, and I've said this before on different broadcasts, that usually you get a letter, or you see it posted, or you get an email from the White House that says, "This is what we've done in our first 100 days." Well, what came out from the White House was a notice that said, "What we've done in the first 100 hours." And things are happening so quickly, we really forget that it's only been 30 days. And Ted Cruz was saying in that interview last night, he said that, when he's in these Senate hearing meetings and they're sitting up in their little perches, he said he looks across to the Democrat senators that are sitting over there and say, "Well, it's been a month, only 3 years and 11 months to go." And he said that they all kind of, he said their face starts to twitch. They don't even know what to say, about that. Like, we've done all of this in 30 days, and there's more to come, which I believe in the last 4 years, Trump has been planning this. He's probably been meeting with some of the most incredible people. It's like I've said before, those 110 executive orders, or however many there were, they didn't just sit down and write those over a weekend. And to do the legal research and everything that they put in place, like with DOGE, that they just renamed a division that has been set up with multiple layers of congressional laws that have been passed since Obama set this thing up. He just repurposed it. It's all in, which is his right to do.
Brilliant,
One of the
brilliant.
things, why, one of the reasons they're doing backflips over it, because they can't stop it. It's law that he can do this. And so, I think there's good things coming for our country, that I think a lot of people really needed this boost of hope in the future. I just hope that people continue to put their hope and their prayers in the Lord, and that it wasn't just a matter of us, like the Israelites, who just wanted a king. We wanted the king to save the country.
Well, that is a word right there, sister, because look what happened. They got what they asked for and they regretted it. So, yes, I agree with you. My motto is no king but Jesus.
Yeah, there we go. Well, as we're closing out our session here today, Jill, which is, we could go on for hours, I'm sure. What would you like to, in our last couple of minutes here, what would you like to leave our audience with today? about this whole uncovery thing and what's going on and anything else that happens to be on your heart.
Well, thank you, Sherry. I would encourage people to stay alert, stay vigilant. Don't dismiss things. If you see something that kind of piques your curiosity, check it out. And if it turns out to be something, ask the Lord for the wisdom to proceed. I would encourage people not to become crusaders. Don't try to go out there and be a one-man show that's going to get you in trouble. Find a company of people like-minded that you can work with and collaborate with. And then again, ask the Lord what it is you're to do. I am confident that He is on the move right now. And it is all that we're witnessing, all that we're hearing about is because He is on the move. These things are not happening arbitrarily. They're happening because of so much prayer and fasting and good, decent men and women of God who have set their face toward Him and said, we will do whatever is required to serve you, to bring glory to your name. It's the Roman 12 model, Romans 12, to make yourself a living sacrifice, which God calls your reasonable form of worship. Reasonable is to become a sacrifice according to the Lord. So we do that. We make ourselves as a sacrifice before the Lord, and we die daily, and we obey. We set our heart to obey. And I think those are really good ingredients for success. Our success is not measured in the abundance of things in which we possess. Our success is measured in how much glory did we bring to the Lord and how well did we love on the earth. Those are the measuring tools for us. So I'll leave you with that.
It's beautiful. You know, I think about, you know, we've talked a lot on this show and my other show that I do, Happy Hour with Dr. T, that airs on Tuesday morning at 11 a.m. You know, 2 Chronicles 7:14, that if my people will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then
I will turn from them.
These are the prerequisites that up until now we haven't done as a nation.
Right.
Then I will heal their land. Well, prior to the election, I'm sure you were on many, many prayer calls. I know I was.
I was, yes.
Some of these calls had thousands of people on them.
Yes.
People were really, you know, seeking to repent for our country and to call us back to the Lord. I mean, and it reminds me of in the Old Testament when God said, when Abraham said, will you save Sodom and Gomorrah for 50 people? Well, how about 40? How about 30? How about 10 righteous people? If there's 10 righteous people here, will you save Sodom and Gomorrah? Well, and I've said there were thousands, if not millions, of people across this country that were praying for the righting of the ship, to get back to our Constitution, to get back to our fundamentals of believing in God and serving Him. And I really believe it was the collective prayer and plea to God that really has opened up a lot of things in this country. And I hope that we will continue doing that.
Amen. Amen. I agree. Thank you. Yes.
Yes. So with that, I want to thank Jill so much for being here and uncovering this fact that this stuff has been going on for a long time and it needs to stop. And thank you for your bravery and being able to come forward and talk about these things and putting it in perspective, because you know, we're sailing in uncharted waters in terms of what's going to happen. And we just have to stay close to the Lord and trust that it will all turn out in the best way that He wants it to turn out. So with that, today I want to thank you again, Jill, for being here. And I want to say a special thanks to our Tenpenny Prime members. Thank you so much for your report and support. If you're not a Prime member yet, please become one. Go to shoptenpenny.net, click on the membership tab, and follow the prompts. And with that, I want to close out with one of my favorite verses from the Bible. I close all of my podcasts with, whether they are live or pre-recorded, which is Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in trouble, and be persistent in prayer. So until the next time, lean into God, trust Him for everything. He will never let you down. Get involved, stay on top of things. We'll see you back here, same place, same time next week. And with that, for everybody, have a good week and goodbye and God bless.
In a time when truth is censored, one name stands out. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, the relentless seeker of knowledge and defender of freedom. Explore groundbreaking findings at drtenpenny.com. Ignite your mind with riveting podcasts, explosive articles, research-driven substacks, webinars, ebooks, and more. In an era plagued by environmental toxins and vaccine-related exposures, Dr. Tenpenny has expertly crafted a selection of safe detox protocols that facilitate profound healing at a cellular level. It's time to cleanse, rejuvenate, and restore your body's vitality. With heart damage on the rise, Dr. Tenpenny introduces nationwide ECP therapy to repair hearts and achieve optimal health. Seize the opportunity and embrace the wealth of resources, information, and health recommendations awaiting you at drtenpenny.com and become a Tenpenny podcast member to join our mission in the quest for uncensored truth, the health of our nation, and medical freedom.